Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 1st.
Yes, it is April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day, indeed. Welcome to the show. And have you seen some pranks going around already?
Only on the TV. I saw on the Today Show they were doing some pranks, like doing makeovers on people, but making them over to be older.
Really?
Yeah. And
that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, they had like a sci-fi makeup artist on there doing it to promote their new show called Face Off, I guess. And so they made everyone look like they were like 100 years old.
Really? Oh, all the people on the show, the regulars
on the
show? No,
just the people that like wanted makeovers. These like
I see. Okay.
A mother and a father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, there's been a few around, especially if you're on Facebook and people announce unexpected weddings, babies, things like that. I've seen a few already.
Yeah, I actually saw a girlfriend post on Instagram that she was going to Promises Malibu, the rehab facility.
Oh, good.
And the picture of her was like in her white bed, like looking all strung out. And so it was a pretty funny post. So she posted and everybody was writing back being like, take me with you. I should probably go too.
Yeah. I know. It's a place where people actually want to go to.
Yeah. I just think a lot of people know they probably need it, or they're joking that they do. So
yeah,
it was a funny joke.
I know, but it's funny they say Promises because that's like a fancy place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody chooses to go there that are a celebrity or something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like the Betty Ford Clinic, also.
Right.
You know, a lot of people thought it was cool to be there. Go figure. You know,
it's trendy.
Yeah.
It also costs a lot, so I don't know how much anyone would really want to go.
Yeah, and you know how much we taxpayers pay for all these rehab places? Because most of the people that go there do not want to be there. They're there by court order.
So, really? But yeah. Would they go to Promises? No, they'd go to a different facility.
They would not go to Promises, yeah. But even those are very expensive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And who do you think pays for it, you know?
That's for Promises, I think like the Lindsay Lohans of the world go and they pay
right.
for it.
Yeah.
We don't pay for that.
No, not for that. I mean just rehabs
other,
in general.
Other rehabs, yes.
Yeah, other rehabs
yeah.
where people go by court order, they don't have to pay for it.
Right.
Whereas people that go in voluntarily pay, you know, I don't know, $1,500 a day or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy.
It's
I mean,
a lot
especially
of money.
Promises is like the private school of rehabs.
Yeah, that one probably costs like $5,000 a day or
probably.
Something.
Probably. I think it's more like a resort slash spa
that's what
than
I'm saying.
It is a rehab facility.
Yeah, I don't know how well it works.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go, so there.
There you go. Well, you won't have to. You seem to have your head pretty much on your shoulders.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
there
you
go. Yeah, and you know how to drink in moderation, so
I do.
Think you're having a problem there.
Right, like don't drink in the mornings.
Right.
When you're doing a radio show.
It was actually fun drinking that.
It was,
right?
Yes.
We'll have to do that more often. Let's just celebrate everything.
I'm in. That's what I do in my life, so good. I'm glad that it has spilled
That's
over
true.
Into yours.
That's what you do. Yeah, you celebrate things.
Yeah.
That's
like this weekend, I'm celebrating Passover and Easter.
Yes, you are. So that means drinking for you.
Basically.
There you go. You see? You'll probably produce some good episodes for your show out of that.
I think we might. I don't actually know when we're going to film, but we'll see.
Okay.
We do have a new episode airing tomorrow if you want to watch.
Okay. I don't follow when it comes out, but it's good that you archive it, you know, so that people
Definitely.
Can go back and...
And if people want to see it before anybody else, it's Thursdays at 3.
Oh, at 3, okay.
3 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, so you do it and then you upload it right away. Type of thing.
Well,
right?
We just upload it every Thursday
right.
at 3. Yeah, we film
right.
it
okay.
secretly
okay.
whenever we do.
I see, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have to announce a Tinder success.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I connected with this woman, so we texted...
The biker chick or the other
no,
one?
No, this is somebody else.
Okay.
Actually. And we ended up talking last night on the phone, and we hit it off pretty nicely, you know. And she was worried. She's like, so everything is going to be on the radio now? I said, no, don't worry about it. You know, there won't be any names. You know, nobody needs to know anything.
Right.
But I do discuss my life and things like that, you know, so. And plus, I have only good things to say about her. So if she's listening, I haven't given her the name of the station. But you know what? I realized if you put in Sam and radio, I'm going to come up.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So, so that's funny, you know. But, no, it's actually, I mean, I'm excited about it. You
Great.
Know, so she's going out of town, but when she comes back, we'll probably connect and we'll see what happens, you know.
Great.
I know. So it's funny. I mean, if something comes out seriously out of this, it will be pretty cool.
That would be a great story.
Hey, yeah, you know, Tinder, I didn't know how to do it, and then Jen helped me, and I finally had some success. You know?
Great. Wait, do I get, you know how, like, in the Jewish religion, if you set somebody up, you get, like, a good, what is it now? Like, it's a mitzvah, and it goes toward your karma or something, like,
probably,
you have good
yeah.
karma. Yeah. So maybe I will consider this one of my mitzvahs.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go. It'll be added to your karma. It'll be on your credit side.
Sweet. My karmic resume.
Yeah. So, that's cool. Now, you wanted to introduce a new app.
Yes.
You
my new
this.
Obsession. I'm in love with Periscope. I didn't think I would love it because I'm like, oh, one more app. I can't commit. I really can't. But it's so different than all of the other ones.
Uh-huh.
It was acquired by Twitter or created by Twitter, something through Twitter. But basically, it's Twitter's app now, and it's live streaming. So what I'm going to do is while we're talking to our guests, I'm going to uh-huh. film some of it
okay.
so our listeners and other people in the world can see what we're doing here and can even like write in and ask questions. And it's just so cool. It's live streaming and you can interact with people. So essentially it's instant gratification because you know, you post a picture on like Instagram, you wait until people like it or they happen to come across it. This is live. So people can see it, write to you. You can write back to them. You can talk to them. And it's pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah. So it's like having a chat room while you're watching something.
Exactly. It's almost like reality TV that you could actually speak back to the people watching.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're going to broadcast your life this way now?
Basically, you can watch everything I do on Periscope. So if you're curious, follow me along at Jennifer Golden. Jennifer is one N. Enjoy. Also, Two Drunk Girls is now on Periscope too. So after 10 p.m., you might see us doing some crazy things.
Wow. So how do you discover those apps? People tell you about them?
Yeah, word of mouth. My best friend works for Twitter.
Right. That's how I figured you knew about that
one. She gave me a beta version. And
really?
I didn't really, like, we used it once on our way to an event one night, and I was like, well, this is pretty cool. Uh-huh. But then while I was trying it earlier today in my car, I saw all these people were writing to me, and I was like, well, hello from Canada. Hello, Mexico. And everybody's really in a different place, and they'll tell you where they're from. They'll say, like, hi from Alabama. And it's like, that's so cool that you're in Alabama watching me here in LA.
Yeah, that's true.
So you want to say hi to them because they're watching you. So.
Yeah. It's amazing how we love to broadcast our lives, I'm telling you.
Well, you and I do a radio show every day, so it makes sense.
Not much to hide, right?
Not at all. Except my face on days I don't do makeup.
You'll decide what we're going to see.
I put on makeup for our special guest.
Yes, you do. And so we might as well. This is a good opportunity to get to our guest now. And very pretty young woman. Thank you for joining us. We have Kita Meggett in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for
having me.
Of course.
Get a little closer to the mic. You see, you don't get to really relax sitting back
right.
here. You have to be active.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. So we met in the elevator and you said you live nearby, which is cool.
Yes. It was awesome.
So are you originally from LA?
Yes, born and raised here in the San Fernando Valley.
Born and raised here. Really? In the valley?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're a local.
Total local.
Wow. I don't know many people that grew up in the valley, but then again, you're young, you know. I've been here probably longer than you've been alive, and and my kids grew up here. So there, I think a lot of younger people are actually from here, you know. Jen is already doing her camera thing.
You guys just do your thing.
Okay, you got to be part of the show. You know what you're reminding me now? You remind me of those tourists that are so busy doing their video, they don't enjoy the experience itself, you know?
She's enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi. All right. We'll do the interview.
Okay, she's doing the selfie video too.
Well, they told me to turn back the camera.
Oh, okay.
So there we go.
So cool. There you go. Okay.
Hey,
all right, there
all
you
right,
go. Okay,
there we
Jen
go.
Did her mitzvah for today. Oh, man. So what did you go to high school here?
I went to several. I started at Monroe, and then I went to Birmingham for a very, very brief minute, and then took some time off, and then I went to Redondo Beach, which is where I graduated from.
Oh, really?
Redondo High School.
Did you move to Redondo Beach?
I did, yes.
I see. With the family?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Did you like it there better?
Not at that point in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You were young?
Yeah, and it was just a... It's not, I didn't go by choice. It just was
right
circumstances.
Yeah, and it's hard for a young person because you already build your friendships here and everything, right? Where you grew up, where you were born, where you were raised, and suddenly you have to just get up and leave.
Right.
Yeah, I know. This happened to me with my family a few times while I was in elementary and middle school, and I know that it's hard. I would always miss my friends after I move.
Right.
Did that happen to you?
I was in a really dark place. I kind of didn't feel like I had friends just because I was getting bullied so bad.
Wow.
Which kind of took the turn in my life, but it's all for the better now.
Right. Yeah. So now you're an anti-bullying activist, let's say,
yes,
for lack of a better word. And so tell us a little bit about that. How? So you're involved in like in an anti-bullying campaign or something?
I started my own nonprofit called Team Bully Buster. And I developed...
You started it?
Yeah.
Your own? Wow.
Yes.
When did you do that? In high school?
No, actually 2 years ago.
Really?
But in high school, my first year, my freshman year, I got bullied for being biracial. I'm half black and half Guatemalan. So a group of 8 black girls took it upon themselves to just make my life miserable.
Wow. And, 8 girls.
And they were successful.
Oh, my
God. I hated my life. I hated school. I hated everybody.
Wow.
And my grades started to drop, and then it resulted with me getting beat up by them. And they broke my jaw, my shoulder blade, 4 of my ribs, bruised my pancreas, my liver.
Wow.
That's crazy. Did that happen on school campus?
On campus.
Did they get expelled?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well,
yeah.
And then they probably hated you more.
Well, I never went back to school.
Okay, good.
Wow. You see how they affected your life. They
right.
really turned it around.
100%.
For the, yeah. I mean, for better, for worse, it depends on how you look at it,
exactly.
right? Yeah, because now in hindsight, you probably realize, hey, it gave me a cause. You know, I can help other people and so forth.
Yeah, when you realize your purpose,
right.
Everything is kind of in HD. But until then, it's like cable or like analog. And you're like, why is all this happening? What is all this?
Right.
But yeah, I suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder for years. I didn't talk about the situation until about 2.5 years ago, where
wow.
I was I'm an actress and a pro wrestler, and I was getting ready for a TV show, and the director was helping me just get to a deeper level of the character and wanted me to access something traumatic, and I was like,
oh my God, what else can you
well
go
no
to?
I actually yeah. had suppressed it so much that I didn't even think about it. He was like, have you ever been raped? And I was like, no. And he's like, molested? No. Been in an abusive relationship? I'm like, no. And then I was like, oh, my God, in high school, this happened to me. And it literally was something I never spoke about again because it was humiliating. I mean, it happened
yeah.
in front of everybody.
Right. And there's a lot of shame because you think there's something wrong with you.
100%.
I mean, obviously, you know, because your peer group is not accepting you.
Right.
You know, and I think at that age, it's the most important thing. You're starting to define yourself
yeah.
socially.
You want to fit in. I mean,
yeah.
it was my first year in high school. I was excited. I was a very big track star, and I had broken so many records. So I was really looking forward to, like, competing in that level. And it just, everything came to a stop.
Wow. Can you relate, Jen? I mean, were you bullied at all in school?
Like more mean girl style, not like physically. I mean, I remember like other girls sort of got made fun of more, but I went to a private school and there weren't so many people there. So, you know, if your option is to be friends with the 12 girls that are there, you sort of have to be friends with them. That's all
right.
you know. But like they froze one girl's underwear to sleep over. Like, but that's stupid
it's kind
stuff.
Of nice.
That's like, that's like petty in comparison to what happened to you.
That's, I would have opted for frozen underwear.
Yeah. They would say mean things. Like, I think I have like particularly large thighs. Like, if you asked me, I have like elephantitis. But like, I also have body dysmorphia, so it's my own problem. But so like, I remember like one of the girls would be like, oh, look how big her thighs are. And I'm like, okay. I'm way smarter than you, though. Like, I don't know what to, like, like, I'm also more talented. Like, I had a lot of, like, my mom built up my confidence in a way that's, like, unnatural.
Right.
So, to counteract the girls I went to school with, like, I went to therapy and stuff because of it. Like, I felt left out. And,
wow.
But I think I dealt with mean girls.
Right.
And, like, them dealing with their own insecurities. Like, you dealt with real bullying.
Right? Yeah, like, and real anger. I mean, where does that anger come from where they just want to beat up somebody?
Honestly, now that I've taken it upon my life to like research it and make a difference in the world and in society, it comes from their own insecurities. I mean, in Black culture, you know, it goes back to historic days of being light-skinned because the slaves were on the inside of the house, were, you know, like, it goes back so far in history, and unfortunately it's still part of present day. I mean, right. Skin tone within still being African American is a big deal.
Yeah.
So
it's so crazy though, like that's the case, because there's also like, you know, what people thought of the Jews at some point.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, there are still people that think about that, but like, you evolve, like your opinions of things evolve. Also, like what somebody thought back in like the Holocaust doesn't mean what they think of us now.
But there are those select few,
right,
that still operate like that.
I have to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure that you've worked on that for a long time, is to learn to overcome that.
Absolutely.
And leave it behind you so you can move forward.
Well, right after it happened, I was in therapy and counseling just to, you know, talk through the issues or whatever. But once I kind of got out of high school, I just never looked back. I hit the ground running and I became an actress, and that was that. But I never thought about it again. But I didn't also know how affected I was by it. I mean, I couldn't have my back to people. I could be like in church. I could never sit in the middle with all the people around me at a basketball game. If there's people behind me, it's not happening.
Wow.
An elevator. Like, I didn't realize how much of a stronghold it really had on my life. It affected my relationships. It affected my friendships. If it affected standing in Trader Joe's, if someone's too close to me, it freaks me out. Like, I got to create a space.
Yeah, huh? Wow.
And so when I realized that after talking to the director, he was like, you know, you'd really need to do something with your story. The fact that you've overcome it and you're still so positive and happy and like have this electricity about you, you should do something with it. So I literally went home and I prayed about it, and I kept thinking like, what do I do with this story? I don't know. Like, what do you do? Okay, I got bullied, I got beat up, and now here I am. But it does affect you forever. So I just thought about what's inspiring to me and what was lacking when I was a youth and going through all that. Like, what could have helped? And that's pretty much how I created Team Bully Buster. I filled in the void. I filled the need that's there. So we are a liaison for students and the schools, so the students can reach out to us, because it's embarrassing going into the office being like, I have a problem, I want to write down, you know, like there, and then
because you're already humiliated by them, by the kids and stuff.
But if you can just message someone online and just say, I'm getting bullied, I'm in North Dakota, this is my name, this is the bully's name, whatever, we'll totally contact the school, see that they follow up with it.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And then also I developed a curriculum where we visit schools and do like a whole anti-bullying seminar assembly type thing where it's not just like a PowerPoint presentation, but we go through identifying bullying, how to diffuse it, and if worse comes to worse, self-defense, because now I fight, and it's a passion of mine, so kind of is a neat thing to be able to like work with people I love. I'm my own boss and I get to do what I love, and I'm still acting because we put on skits.
Right.
It's kind of cool. I mean, I would have never thought something so traumatic could have turned into something so beautiful.
Wow, you're saying that's inspiring, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, that just goes to show you that it all depends on how you view what is happening to you, you know, and you decided you're not going to be a victim.
Right.
And you're going to, you know, and obviously you're very talented. There's a lot of different things you can do. So, and that's probably what bothered them. They probably realized you're more talented than they are, you know, nicer than they are, whatever. And like you said, they have insecurities. It's like, how come I can't be like that,
right,
you know?
But also it's great that you turned it around to be like what you said, something positive, because a lot of people tend to take their past and like take it as a chip on their shoulder for right. the rest of their lives.
Correct.
And it's their excuse for everything else. Right. Well, when I was a kid, I was bullied. So I'm going to now bully you.
Right.
Or I'm going to beat up little dogs. Like,
yeah.
Right.
It's crazy what people do with that. And
that's true. That's very true, you know. And it just depends on, I guess, you must have had good background growing up, right?
Totally. Have a very, very, very supportive mom and dad.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when I was getting bullied, I want to say maybe like 8 months before that, my parents decided to get a divorce. And then a couple months after that, my mother was hit by a car walking and was in a coma for 39 days. So literally like our lives got completely turned upside down. So when I was getting bullied, the last thing I'm going to think is like my mom cares while she's like holding on by a string for her life. And my father's like trying to figure out everything with the houses and the lawyers and the divorce and I felt like I had nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
Which is what we want to be, which is what we are for kids. We are here and in so many different ways.
Yeah. So you're an only child?
No, I have an older brother.
Oh, you do have an older brother. Didn't you feel, are you guys close?
Super close, yeah.
Super close. So you weren't quite alone, though, right? I mean, you had your brother
right.
to support you, but he was probably going through his own stuff
exactly. he was
during
16,
a divorce.
And lived with my dad in Redondo Beach, so it was me and my mom, which had like caretakers in the house. Like the whole house was made into a hospital.
So they split you up pretty much.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the worst thing, you know? I mean, it's sort of like you compromise. You know, I'll have one child, you'll have one child,
right.
but it's not necessarily good for the kids, you know. That's why
how do you pick?
I know.
Yeah,
I think my brother was actually, like, you know, being bad. He was 16. I think he was tagging and, like, being escape. I don't know.
Doing what boys 16
Yeah, exactly. So my mom, and then my mom not in the best shape of her life at all. You know, it was probably too much for her to have both kids, and I was the easy kid. So that's probably how I stayed.
And plus, maybe the son gravitates to the father and the daughter
especially
to the mother.
Especially at that age.
Yeah, at that age. At that age. Wow. So, I mean, I can imagine, you know, feeling alone and everything. It's like got to be the worst thing ever.
Yes, totally.
You know, and very traumatic. And that's why, I mean, but you didn't let it keep you down.
It did for a little bit. Until,
well, obviously in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this is dumb. I'm not going to just sit at home and be scared. Like, I still got to go about life. And, like, I knew somewhere, somehow, even if it was tiny, that I had a bigger purpose. Like, I did know that was just inside, and I feel like we all do, but it's not until that point that it's revealed to us, you know. But I knew something.
So then you went to a different school after that happened,
and I was on a super accelerated program just to graduate fast. And a couple of the electives that I had to take was like cooking, parenting, or acting. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll just do acting because I don't want to cook and I don't want to like, carry a little egg around like a baby or a flower
bag.
God, remember that?
Yes.
So I took acting and the teacher gave me a piece and I went home and studied it. It was a monologue and I went back the next day and performed it and I killed it. And I had never felt so good in my life, especially in such a amount of time. Like, I hadn't felt great about myself in a really long time. And I went home that day and I was like, I want to be an actress.
Wow. So that kind of like help pull you out of your depression and stuff. So what you're here to say actually is people need to be active, need to be doing things that they can achieve.
That get them out of their comfort zone.
Right.
If it was up to me, I would have just stayed in my room.
Yeah.
But things brought me out of my comfort zone. Like, acting was the biggest thing. And then secondly, you know, cut to years later when I got cast as a WOW superhero, as a pro wrestler. Even that was kind of funny. I went to audition and I thought it was for that show Heroes.
And
I walked in and there was a wrestling ring and there were these girls that are I'm tiny, that, like, you know, 5'8", 9'10", whatever, throwing each other around. And I was like, oh, hell no. I thought this was for the show Heroes. And they were like, no, it's for WOW Superheroes. It's an all women cast, pro wrestlers. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I don't do this. I ran track and played basketball. I'm good. And they're like touching each other. No. So then the executive producer walked over to me and he's like, I want you to stay. Like, just stay and watch. You've already, you know, we're paying for your parking or whatever. Just stay and watch. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I stayed. And the last girl to jump in the ring was like 5'1", 5 pounds, picked up a girl like 5'10", 150, 60 pounds and flipped her around. And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, if she can do this, I can do this. And even though I knew it was going to be super scary, I knew it was going to be good for me because I knew at this point I was aware of the issues that I had with people near me. So I was up for the challenge, and it was a 3-month audition process. Like, it was a process of elimination, and I made it.
Wow.
And then that changed my life and opened the doors for me to start fighting. And at first I was just acting, fighting. And then I took an actual interest in it, and I started with jiu-jitsu and then Muay Thai, and now I love it and I compete, and yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you do wrestling too then?
Yeah, so I'm a pro wrestler, and then I do competitive jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai.
Right. Now, the wrestling, is that like the sports part or the entertainment part?
The entertainment part.
The entertainment part.
I now do wrestling with jiu-jitsu because it's part of it. Right. But as far as like, it's like WWE Divas, but we're an all-women cast, and it's no TNA. Like, it's not sexualized at all. It's... And we're all like empowered women, you know, taking on the bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
Is that how you sort of like unleash your inner, like, you know, issues with the past?
Totally. Like, that broke everything for me because, I mean, that's so uncomfortable. You've got a girl and her whole body's all over you and it's smothering you and you're flipping and you're, you know, like, you have to trust that other person. One of the biggest rules that our coach taught us was, your priority is to take care of the other girl in the ring. And that way, both parties are completely taken care of. It's not about you ever, ever, ever. So trusting that was a really big issue for me.
Yeah.
But it totally broke so many issues that I did have, and I don't have them anymore. Like, for me to compete, you know, in jiu-jitsu, which your body's all over this person's body, was the like day one class I was like, like freaking out. And now, like, I love it. Like, the blood rush when, you know, when I'm about to compete is the best feeling. It's the same as getting on the stage, and it's that same rush, which apparently I'm addicted to.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean, did you have to go to therapy to deal with this, like with this proximity of people to you?
No, that actually was the therapy.
So that was
it. Yeah, it was like very therapeutic.
Wow. So you jumped right in.
I did. I was just like, enough of this. Like, I knew, like, going to the movies was on a date or with friends was never fun, but it used to be.
Yeah.
But I would literally start hyperventilating, anxiety. I couldn't stay still just because I'm like, it's dark in here. I don't know who's around me. Something can happen to me.
Yeah.
Not until I started wrestling and jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai did I start to feel safe just within my own skin.
Right. Which is, because, you know, you can defend yourself now.
If anything, I can get away. Like,
right.
I'm not this huge fighter that's like, oh, I'll fight you, but I can get away, and that's the most important.
Right. And it gives you a lot of confidence when you know you can defend yourself.
100%.
You don't have to wait and rely on somebody else to protect you.
I still look around all the time. Like, I always am like peripherally like peeking out my surroundings. But as far as like the fear, that's totally gone.
Yeah. Has that affected your relationships in any way? Do you feel maybe earlier on, right?
I'm sure feeling scared and not enough and like
maybe not
trusting.
Fitting
in, not trusting. I'm sure it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it affected every aspect of my life until now, where I've got a hold on everything and I'm like, oh, I'm good. And doors are opening and things are going well. So
that's amazing. How's your mom doing?
She's great. She's, she's still handicapped. But they said she would never walk again. She totally walks. They said she's had like, I don't know, 15 surgeries on each leg, and she had 280 stitches in her head, and hands were crushed, feet were crushed.
Wow.
Well, yeah, the guy, she was walking across the street with her friends. The guy hit a guy and my mom, and then my mom flew over the car, and he didn't know that, so he reversed like, oh shit, I hit somebody, and then hit her again. So,
and she lived.
I know, and
that's
she lived.
The
they
blessing.
Said she wouldn't ever come out of the coma. 39 days later, she did. And then they said that she'll never walk again, and she does. So she defied all odds. And
you must have been devastated.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very devastating.
Wow. How old were you at the time?
Let's say, when are you a freshman? 12, 13?
I feel like 14, maybe.
So I was probably 12 and a half, almost 13. And then there was a good period of time where my mom was healing, and then I started high school.
Wow.
And that's what happened.
Wow.
And then you needed to heal.
And then I needed heal. Yeah. I was just like,
who took care of you after your hospital stint?
My mom right after, and then once it came back to having to go back to school, I went to Redondo just to not be in this area.
Yeah. So this all happened here, all the bullying and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Have any of the girls ever tried to reach out to you?
No. That's so funny. Now, especially now that I have Team Bully Buster, everyone asks, and because I fight, like, what would happen if you saw them? And I'm like, I wouldn't even recognize them.
Yeah.
Like, they could be right next to me, and I would not even know that that was them. And they probably did that to way more kids than just me, so I probably didn't. Do you know what I mean?
You didn't stand out to them.
Yeah.
They stood out to you.
Exactly.
But, right.
And it's so cowardly, you know, to be eight people against one.
Of course.
How sad, right?
Oh.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. It's like, face me one-on-one and let's see.
But also, what did you do to them to even deserve
that? Right, but then overall, like, why do you even have a problem with me?
I know,
right.
She's such a sweet girl, you know, who would want to mess with her?
And I was such a tomboy. Like, now I'm, like, girly and, like, wear my hair down. I was such a baller. Like, I wore big clothes and a ponytail and carried a basketball. I was definitely not a threat. I wasn't that girl who's around high school flirting with boys. Like, I didn't even know boys like that.
So you were not a threat to them, other than they probably sensed that you're better than they are.
In some way, shape,
many
or form.
Ways, yeah. And obviously you've gone through a lot in your life. I mean, between that and your mom and the divorce.
I know.
I mean, each one of these on its own is devastating.
Yeah.
It was like all together.
At least you got it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. So smooth sailing, right?
Right. Hopefully the worst is behind you.
So you're saying everybody's got to go through their trials and tribulations.
I 100%. Yeah. And if you don't, then what is your life?
Yeah,
what's the point of it? And you don't know that you're strong until you're tested, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what life's about, I think. You know, everybody goes through their own trials, you know.
Right. Otherwise, how do you grow? You don't have anything to learn from if you don't go through things.
Right.
That's true. And then you do stay in your comfort zone, and you don't want to do anything, you know.
And there's never been growth in the comfort zone. If you look at anybody who's accomplished anything in this entire world, it was never from being comfortable.
Right. It was from going out of that zone. And very cool. So so where can people see you fight if they want to?
You can look me up. All my social media is The Pretty Flower, and then also Team Bully Buster. So you can keep up to date with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, what have you.
But where do they show the wrestling itself? Where can we see that?
Right now it's a negotiation between Spike and NBC, so I'm not sure which network is going to pick it up.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So this is like happening as we speak.
Oh, yeah, totally. It'll be season two.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How cool.
Very exciting. My character's name is Keita Rush, the Bully Buster.
Really?
Yeah. So you get to, like, combine everything you do.
Exactly. That was one of the things when I was cast and I made the cut, they were like, we're having a very hard time figuring out your character, just because everyone's character is pretty much based on, like, their look. Like, for instance, the girl who has red hair, her name's Fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other girl who's, like, super bubbly, her name's Sunshine. So it's like, those are their superpowers. But again, like, how do I fit in? I'm mixed. Nobody, you know, like... So they asked me to brainstorm on it, and I went to my dad, and I was like, hey, I have this opportunity, but I need help. And my father's, like, a professional in marketing and all that good stuff. So he was like, well, let's think big picture. Like, what do you want this to be for your life? Like, if this was something for the rest of your life. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want people screaming out another name. Like, for instance, like Dwayne Johnson, we still say The Rock.
Right.
But even though he's an actor now and doesn't go by The Rock, like, he's still The Rock.
Right.
I didn't want that. So I was like, I definitely want Keita to be part of it. And then I just want to be an inspiration. Like, I don't want to be a mean guy, and I don't want to just be funny. Like, I want to be an inspiration in everything that I do. So my dad actually came up with Keita the Bully Buster. And they loved it, but in wrestling, you also have to have a last name. So because I'm fast, I'm Keita Rush, the Bully Buster.
Oh, I see. Okay. I like that.
I know. It's fun. And I literally get to take on the bullies in the ring, and it's so fun. Like, it's the best.
Wow. Very cool. So it's not available yet, but we'll be able to see it soon?
No, it's available. You can go on to, I think it's Wow Superheroes on the YouTube channel, and they are putting up the matches little by little. And then as far as the new season, when it's on a network, I don't know those details. But if you follow us, we'll be posting about it.
Wow, I can't wait to see you fight. So how can people find it on YouTube?
You can either put in Keita Maguette, my name, or The Pretty Flower, or Keita Rush.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bully Buster. They're all, what are they called, keywords?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I'm going to check that out, you know? I mean, it's very interesting, because you are tiny.
I'm tiny.
You remind me of my daughter and stuff. My daughter last night says, I wish I was taller. She says, but it seems like guys like that I'm small and stuff. I said, yeah, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, guys like to be able to cuddle and you know, and stuff like that, you know? So, yeah, so this works in your favor,
I'm sure. Totally, yes.
You know.
And it's cool because I get to, like, be a flyer and, like, jump off of the ropes and, like, do stuff that other people can't necessarily.
How fun.
It's really fun.
So how do you feel? What do you think qualified you to do that?
My athletic background, for sure, and then acting. I mean, a big part of pro wrestling is, like, making sure you're committed to your character.
Yeah.
And I already had those two. So for me, it was actually really easy. It was interesting watching other girls who were very athletic not have the acting part, or actresses come in who didn't have the athletic part. Right. But I went in and killed it because, I mean, I had both, coincidentally. Yeah. So it worked for my benefit.
Oh, wow. And so we didn't talk about your athletic background. What were you doing at the time?
Track. I ran the 400. That was like my baby. And
oh, really?
I played basketball from literally like age 6.
Wow.
And yeah.
That's pretty cool. Does your brother like sports too?
Not anymore. He was a big football player and a big skateboarder, but now not so much.
Not anymore, right?
He just chills, yeah.
I know. People leave the stuff back, you know. And did I tell you I decided to start playing the guitar again?
No.
Yeah. I decided to do that, so I like borrowed, quote unquote, back my guitar from my son. So
acoustic or electric?
No, it's an electric guitar, and I have a 1973 Gibson SG, which is pretty cool, you know. I mean, I got it when I was 13 years old. My dad said, let's just, you know, I just wanted a nice colorful guitar. And he's like, so we went to the store, and my dad always liked to get the best stuff, right? So he got me, you know, that's what the guy said was the best thing. So we got that, and now, you know, it's like, what, 40 years later, and the guitar is worth quite a bit, you know, and people are always impressed that I have it. So, but, you know, I've sort of like given up playing when I get older and stuff, you know, and you get busy with your life and you leave things behind.
Right.
But, you know, when I think about it, I remember people used to think Sam, the guitar player, you know, because I'd always play the guitar and sing, and people remember me like that. So if I meet somebody now from my childhood, oh, do you still play the guitar?
Oh, so
it used to be part of my life,
right.
You know.
Did you know he played the guitar?
No. Oh. Well, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you've mentioned it sometimes, but right. Not like that.
But not that I decided now
to
pick it up. So I did, and that was Sunday. I still haven't gotten the chance to play it yet, but I'm planning on it.
Hey, baby steps, baby steps.
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't mind starting a band right now, you know. It would just be amazing because I love being in a band. I love the idea that people all do the same thing together in harmony, in coordination, in sync, and are able to produce something nice.
Do you play an instrument?
No, I used to play the guitar too. I did everything, and then I quit everything.
Really?
Yeah.
You should go back to the guitar.
You guys should have a band called Sam and Jen.
Yeah. Do you like to sing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you should definitely get a guitar.
I don't think so.
The best.
Probably not.
It's the best instrument for singers.
I have a lot on my list. That's really low on there.
Okay.
Makes sense.
But you totally do that. You should do that and bike ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm totally into music and stuff. And it's funny because the woman on Tinder last night, she was asking me, so what do you do for like sports and stuff, or for fitness? Or she says, because you seem to look pretty good. And I said, I do, but I don't do anything. She's like, really? I said, well, I do ride my bike, you know, which I do like occasionally, you know, but I made it sound like I do it all the time because right. I felt kind of embarrassed. But at the same time, you know, hey, I don't want to work out. What's the big deal? I look okay. I eat great, you know. And yeah, I mean, I don't go crazy, you know. I'm fine, you know. I know I should get more activity done. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to go around being embarrassed by it either.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody's going to bully me about that.
I got your back.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you into music too? Do you
I love music. Sing? Really? I don't sing. I took up the acoustic guitar, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was something that I never really stuck with, but I absolutely love listening to it.
Yeah.
And I love music, lyrics, and...
Yeah. I know. You know what? It just, you know how I date myself is that, you know, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I looked at some song books, you know, to sort of like refresh my memory, like how to play certain songs and stuff. So I started going back in the decades. Obviously, you know, this decade, I know nothing about what's going on in music. Barely the last decade, I thought, you know what, I'll go to the 90s. Even the 90s, you know, it's... let's see, Green Day, you know, Three Doors Down, is that, you know, yeah. Nine Inch Nails, things like that. So I know of them, but I don't really know their music. So already at that point, I had been listening to older music, you know. So I'm stuck in the 70s, 80s, doesn't matter what I do, that's where I'm stuck, so that's where I'm going to play. But it just amazes me that, I mean, there's been a lot of great music over the years, but it's been more, the stuff that I like has been more obscure, you know, so, or of the known artists that have been around for a while. But the music today, I can't seem to connect. But then again, I think every generation has the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, but the classics remain. The classics remain. So, okay, so we're talking to Keita Meggett, you said it is, right?
Yes.
And, you had Team Bully Busters.
Yes.
And what other stuff? I mean, you do so much stuff, you know. do you do anything else other than wrestle and act and your anti-bullying? I mean, you started this project,
yes.
Right? When did you start this?
I literally Googled my way through the entire process. I was like, really? How do you start a nonprofit? And then I came up with the business plan. And then I got a lawyer to do all the like legal stuff because there's a lot that goes into it for the on the back end.
Is it a 501c3?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that takes a while.
That takes a long time.
So luckily, you said your father's in business
yes.
and stuff, so
yes.
he could help you.
Totally.
Wow.
And then I just paid attention to what was lacking. And one was, you know, an outlet for kids who are getting bullied and to feel safe. And then also something for them to relate to. There are a lot of other amazing anti-bullying companies. But for me, they're very vanilla. Like when you go, there's like an apple with a little worm and it's like, are you getting bullied?
Yeah.
and I'm not like, that doesn't relate to me. I love street art. I love music. I love martial arts. I love... graffiti. I love music and live music. So for me, I wanted my company to totally represent me. And one cool thing was LMU actually picked up Team Bully Buster as their case study for their marketing and branding class. So yeah, they helped design everything and pitch everything to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Wow. So that was a pretty beautiful, powerful element. And yeah, I just... pretty much like the three components are we visit schools and go over the curriculum and then leave them feeling super empowered. Some of the schools that we've even visited and done assemblies with have designated a certain day as Team Bully Buster Day. Like if it's a private school and they wear uniforms on Tuesday, they can wear their Bully Buster shirts. we're sure to encourage every child to be confident. So anyone that gets on the mic immediately gets a prize. So that like helps with, you know, camaraderie and volunteering. It's a very interactive program. We put on skits. We have a physical fit challenge. We do a MMA demo. I always have my friends from the UFC and Bellator come and show them like another world. You know what I mean? I wish I would have known about self-defense or martial arts at a younger age. So that's one element. The other element is being the liaison for children and the schools. Right. And then also interviewing public figures, celebrities, and everyday people who have either been bullied or like a parent of a child who was bullied, and listen to their stories as forms of inspiration. So those are the three components of Team Bully Buster.
Yeah, cool. And how can people reach out to you if they want to?
Go to teambullybuster.org, or you can send me an email at info@teambullybuster.org.
Okay, cool. Well, this is very exciting, you know. I mean, you're a very inspiring young lady.
Thank you.
And what? So what, I mean, do you have any career plans now? Because this is obviously something that you're passionate about. But do you think you can make a career out of this?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
I mean, it is my career. It is right. my life. I live and That's breathe true. It and represent it. I mean, on the show, I'm the Bully Buster. In my life, right. I'm the Bully Buster. And I defend myself in the fights that I take. And, I mean, it's... It is my life.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to be able to earn a living doing this?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've thought about everything. You're an old soul, right?
I am an old soul. I've heard that my whole life.
Yeah, you've been around for a while because you're very mature, you know. I mean, look, it's like you almost seem to have been born with this stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird when it all starts, the puzzle pieces start to actually make the picture. Then you're like, oh, I see you.
Yeah, I mean, this just goes to show, don't let other people paint who you are. You know, you got to find yourself. You got to dig deep inside with all that bullying and all those things they say about you that you start believing after a while.
Right.
You got to somehow see the light and reach in for the real you and bring it out, I think.
Absolutely. And a couple things that stood out for me was without cracks, like if something's completely solid, there's no light. So if you look at things that happen in your life is like a crack in your soul or whatever, that's an opportunity for the light to shine through. So hold on to that. And as weird as it might sound, and I heard it my whole life, like we all have a purpose, you know, there's a greater plan, you just don't get it. It really is true. Like as much as that sounds so cliche, it really is true. I would have never imagined, not even 4 or 5 years ago, that this would be my life. Like, I mean, I got to a point where I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, it sucks that my life is in the hands of a casting director. I'm continuously like, da, 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 this is me. You know what I mean? But like, and you wait for and hope that someone's going to pick you or that you're the right person for the part. And I just was asking like the Lord, like, what do I do now? Like, there's got to be more. Like, I want to be able to take control. And this literally fell in my lap. And I was like, hello.
Yeah.
Ask and you shall receive.
Ask and you shall receive. And ask positively, not saying like, I don't want this, I don't want this. Ask for exactly what you want and you will get it.
That's like the secret.
It is.
There you go. Yeah. Now, when you grew up, I mean, I think kids for the most part don't see race differences, you know, when they're young and stuff. But I mean, did you feel you had to identify with the racial group when you grew up? I mean, did you feel more part of the black community, more of maybe Hispanic community, maybe neither one?
Right. I come from a very diverse, well-rounded family. Like, we traveled all the time. My father was a sergeant in the Marines. My mother's from Guatemala. So like, we've traveled everywhere as a family.
Right.
So I never felt like I did fit in, but I never felt the need to fit in, if that made sense. But I did recognize, like, the Asian girls would hang out or the white girls would hang out and then the black kids would hang out and then the Spanish kid. And I was just cool with everyone.
Right.
Like, I didn't really have a place, but I was cool with everybody. So that was kind of cool. But when I got to high school, at that point, I didn't know where I fit in. And then I was just scared and freaked out and hated my life.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine, you know. I mean, you don't feel that you belong anywhere,
right?
And stuff. So that's a problem. But then again, I think the lesson to be learned from all this is, despite all this adversity and everything, there's always hope. There's always better.
And you can overcome it. You just have to want to, and you can. You will.
There you go. Yeah.
Don't give up.
There you go. Kita Maget, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Give the links again so people can find you.
Okay. My personal stuff is all The Pretty Flower. So that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of it. And then the company is Team Bully Buster. And you can go to the website, teambullybuster.org. And then you can feel free to shoot me an email at info@teambullybuster.org.
Sounds good. So if you are getting bullied and you're feeling down and depressed, go ahead and reach out. You know, there's going to be people like Kita helping you out, listening.
And if you have a story, we'd love to hear it, whether it was your child who got bullied. And we'd love to hear the different perspectives all having to do with something regarding bullying. So
yeah,
that's the next project is accumulating enough content for the website of interviews. So if you've got a story, please send it in.
There you go. And on that note, folks, thank you all for joining us. Beware of pranks today. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Yikes. I want to hide right now.
All right, Jen, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you,
and
guys,
we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk.